So let's talk about this thing, this breastplate of righteousness. Let's just read Ephesians 6, 10 real quick, and then we'll get to the breastplate of righteousness. We're going to break down a lot. So I have this, by the way, all these notes, because I've got about 30 scriptures. We're not going to go to all of them. I may just mention them to where you can research them on your own time. They're going to be in the app by tomorrow morning. So don't be worried so much about writing it down. I'm going to put them all in the app so you can read all of the notes, because I'm going to fire a lot at you this morning. All right, let's do it. Ephesians 6:10 right here says, "Finally, brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might," verse 11, "and put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness and rulers of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." One of the key things that we talked about is the word wickedness. Actually, is this word all throughout scripture that means unrest. It means full of labors, annoyances, and toils. We think wicked like, oh, people who are going to go around stabbing and killing people and whatnot like that. And there's a connotation that in other, but in this particular word, because the Bible wasn't written in English, it was written in Greek and in Hebrew, largely. And in this instance, it meant unrest. How many battle with unrest with your life? Constantly every day, you wake up, you already feel behind, like you woke up 5 minutes late, but it feels like you're 3 days late. That's because you're thinking about your bills, probably. I'm right there with you, right? But that's what we do. We always are wrestling with this thing of rest, and we found out that the truth is that's the real battle that you're battling. And when you can conquer that, if we stay in this armor, right? So again, I'm doing a little bit of recap from last week because I liked last week, guys. All right, so verse 13. "Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, dunning all." Dunning. Wow. Y'all like that, Red Oak English? "Doing all or having done all, stand." Stand therefore. It says stand several times, guys. It's really trying to get us a point across. I kind of think of it like my kids. My children with these lovely video games don't listen, no matter how well disciplined they are. My son, Jade, yesterday he was sitting right there and I was standing. Like he was in the front foyer, the glass area, and I was standing right where the doors of the sanctuary are. It's not very far. There's no music. There's no nothing going on. There's like four people here. And I said, Jade. Finally, "Yes, sir." What is that? That's what scripture's telling us. Stand. It's trying to get this through our heads, and you're going to see why in just a little bit, okay? Y'all like how loud I'm getting? I'm trying not to do this. I don't like holding this thing. So, stand therefore, this is verse 14, "having your loins girded about with truth." This is the belt of truth. That's what we talked about last week. "And having on the breastplate of righteousness." Okay, what is a breastplate for? I did some research for you guys, because I know you wouldn't. No, I'm just kidding. I did some research. You know what a breastplate was? A breastplate covered from the neck about right here down to the waist. And they used it like the Roman infantry. They used it. It was for if your shield fell, like it broke or anything like that. If it broke or anything like that, the breastplate was there. And it really protected two core things. It protected the heart and the lungs, because you don't live very long without either one of those. Sharon, could you go tell Jonathan to turn off his Bluetooth on his phone? Or thank you, Dustin, yeah. So lungs, heart. Protects those two things. But there was this interesting thing that I found out, that it actually buckled to the belt, because it set, like it was really tight on the hips, you know? Like my tight pants on. No? Y'all don't know that movie? That little video. So it set on their waist, like on the belt, because it was to take the weight off of them, off their shoulders. So they weren't carrying the weight around on their shoulders. It balanced on the belt. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. We just talked about, this is all spiritual. Y'all are aware. We're not talking about physically. I'm not about to outfit you guys with like belts and like Roman infantry and you're like, let's go to Costco's. That's not what we're going to do, right? This is spiritual, okay? But think about this. It's the belt of truth, and it rests on that. It rests on that truth to where the weight is not on your shoulders. And it's called this breastplate of righteousness. Do you know what spiritually your heart and your lungs are? The word spirit, and all the way back from Genesis, is this word in Greek or Hebrew, if I'm going to say it right, it's ruah. And it means breath, spirit. That's what your spirit is the breath. That's what this protects. That's what this thing righteousness protects, is your spirit. But we first have to decide, like, what is our spirit? right? Like we say spirit, and a lot of us think paranormal activity, right? Or your children's are possessed with the spirit or something maybe. But what is your spirit? It's simply this. Your spirit is the piece of you that can directly communicate with God. It is the piece of you that can develop a relationship. It is the piece of you that can talk, that can sense God. Trust me, this can't understand God. The more you try, the more confused you end up getting, in my opinion. It's the spirit. It's this thing inside you. Sometimes we talk about intuition. You ever heard of a mother's intuition? Intuition is a part of your spirit. It's this thing in you that you can't explain. You don't know why, but it's telling you something. That's your spirit. And it's the part that can talk to God. So this righteousness, this thing righteousness is to protect your spirit. Every single one of you have a spirit. Are you aware of that? Matter of fact, if you look in scripture, it talks about how when you die, you give up the ghost. And the word ghost there is the spirit or the breath. That's what's said when it talks about Christ dying on the cross. It says he gave up the breath. That's your spirit. That's the part that can talk to God. So I'm going to go through a few things because this thing, righteousness, we talked about this in the last weeks, but there's always two armors because who sits on the throne gives you the armor. Direction and protection come from the throne. So there's your armor. There's man's version of all of God's things. God wants you to have something, and then man says, oh, I've got this solution over here for you, and it sucks. It does. Because you know what the opposite of truth is? Is lies. You know why we lie? We lie to protect ourselves. Right? Look, it's a phone Sunday. Please silence all cell phone. No flash photography. Blah, blah, blah. I'm just kidding. Actually, use your phones because most of you have your Bible on it. So, but there's these two armors. There's man's and God's. So there's these two righteousnesses. There's man's version and God's, and that's what we're about to dive into. And I'm going to tell you guys something right now. If you're religious, you're not going to like me at the end of this, just like you didn't last week. Actually, you did. They didn't come back. Don't worry. Let's look at something. Romans 10 and 10 says this right here. Romans 10 and 10 says, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So this word heart is your spirit. And it believes unto this thing called righteousness. Okay? Just keep that in your mind. Write it down. That's Romans 10:10. So let's first look at man's, because it's the interesting one. It's one we're probably all more familiar with, and be quite honest with you. Here would be my definition if I was to say, all right, here is man's version of righteousness. I'm going to show you some scriptures as well. But let me just give you kind of the Jared Thompson translation here, which is this right here. It's works of worth. Works of worth. You have to work to become worthy. To gain worth, you work. For instance, this is man's version. You go to work to what? To gain worth. Money. If you go to work for no money, I can help you with some business practices. You're supposed to make money at working. This is man's version. We work to gain the worth. We say it is a subset of actions and things you have to do to become worthy enough to be able to gain something. That's how it works, right? There's this saying in, I think it's economics, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Unless you go with Brother Jim to Whataburger because he always gets my lunch. You got to work for everything you get in life, right? If you do that and then try to apply that spiritually, you know what this is called? Religion. That is what religion teaches us, is it says, you've got to do these subset of things over here, this thing, and then God will talk to you again. Almost like God is a five-year-old on a playground that says, if you don't do it my way, I'm not playing with you anymore. That's not God. What kind of father would that be to say, I don't want to play with Legos that way? No, I do that, but I'm just kidding. Right? I don't want to play video games. Trust me, these kids, they say words that I don't think are English. Behavior to achieve something. That's what religion says. That's what man's righteousness is. Matter of fact, when I say the word righteousness to you, you probably think, and I was supposed to put it on, but I totally forgot, man. God, my wife knew the whole time. I had this cool little light-up tie I was going to wear. You know, I had the light-up belt last week as a joke, so I had a light-up tie, and I was going to wear it because that's man's version of righteousness. If I put the tie on, if I put the right clothes on, if I come to church the right amount of times, or if I say enough prayers and Hail Marys, or if I don't cuss a lot, or he said suck in church, oh my goodness. You know, that's man's righteousness, and they say, you got to do these things and make it all work right. Then God can come into your life. And I'll refer back to a session we did. It was called Chains for Change. Not like change money. Change to repent. And we talked about the prodigal son. That's what that has to do with. Can't go into that. You can go look at it. But that's what man says is religion. So what does God think about this? What does God think about that kind of thing? To say, hey, you got to achieve this stuff to get my love or to get my relationship. What kind of marriage would that be? Think about it. What kind of relationship with your kids would that be? If that's how it worked. So what does God think about that? Let's just look at it. Isaiah 64:6 tells us quite blatantly. Now, it's just my kid in here, so honey, you get to have an interesting conversation. This is rated R and graphic right here, guys. Okay, you ready for this? But we are all this unclean thing. For all our righteousness is as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf. I'm going to do some definitions for you, because again, remember, this scripture was written in Hebrew. Unclean things, our righteousness. We're going to define righteousness in a minute, but I'm going to hang you. That's the cliffhanger all the way till the end. Are as filthy rags. Do you know what the word filthy translates to? Menstruation. This is what that word means. Rags means the rag that was used back in those days. It's kind of disgusting. Wouldn't you all say? You can agree with that. It is, that's like God's view of that. That's how disgusting it is. He's like, what are you doing? You're trying to clean, a rag is something you try to clean yourself with. And he said, you want to clean yourself with that? I got something way better for you than that. And then I love this piece right here where it says, and we all do fade as the leaves. What this is meaning is even if you could get yourself clean, you're going to get dirty again. It's going to fade. As soon as you get yourself clean, it's just going to fade away. So God says, what are you doing? Right? Now, what I want to do is we're going to look at something. This is 2 Corinthians 5:20. This is where we start to see God's version of this, the intent version of this. This is 2 Corinthians 5:20 and 21. And here's what this says for us right here. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. Verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Some translations say in Christ Jesus. That's who the him is, just so we're aware. We're talking about Jesus. So we can replace him with Jesus. For he, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin for all of us. Who knew no sin, Jesus, didn't know any sin, that we would be made the righteousness of God in him. What is this trying to tell us? First off, we have to define some words. Y'all know I like to do that, right? I love to do that. Defining words is fun, and I hated English, believe it or not. What does this word ambassador mean? We only use it pretty much to say like an ambassador to another nation. What is that? They are the representative. They are coming on the behalf of. So this is saying we're an ambassador. We're coming on the behalf of Christ. To make you reconciled. This word reconciled, again, is a word that we don't use very often. We would say something like, oh yeah, to get back together. But I love what the real definition is. It's this right here. To exchange something of equivalent value or higher value. To return someone or something. This is reconciliation. So when I thought about this, to exchange something, there was this exchange that happened, and it tells us what it is. It was sin for righteousness. Something of equal or greater value. The greater value was the righteousness than God did, and he swapped it. He just said, nope, we're going to do an exchange right here. For instance, if I said, I got 20 bucks, or I have 100, and you have 20, and I'll say, I'll trade you. Who would take that deal? Wow, we can do math class after, but you end up with more money, just so you know. And it's not more money, more problems, trust me. So reconciled to an exchange that happened. Now, this is an interesting thing that happens in verse 21. This word made pops up twice. For he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God. We're going to define the words made because there's two different words here. We say made and made, but they're actually two different words that mean two different things. And then there's this word sin that, again, I refer to chains for change. For that one to go into extreme detail, but I'm going to define it for you. So he was made, this first made means appointed He was appointed, kind of like we appoint a president. We say, hey, you're going to do it. You're in this place. This is your role. It was appointed to be sin. This word sin is the most messed up word in Scripture, probably, along with several others. But we think sin, again, what do? We immediately say, let me put on this breastplate of man's righteousness. Sin is the actions of which and things that you do. It's all these bad things. That's sin. And we looked in detail what the word sin meant, and it means simply to not have a share in or to miss the mark. Right? To miss the mark. So for instance, if I told my son, hey, I need you to go and clean your room, and he didn't clean it perfectly right, but he cleaned it, does that mean he has completely sinned against me and I'm not going to talk to you anymore, Jade? Or Jade, you better go clean it up and don't come talk to me again until it is exactly how I want it, but I won't tell you how I want it exactly. That's how we view God. But that's not what he's doing. That's not sin. Sin is simply to miss the mark. How often do you miss the mark? Every day. We miss the mark. And he's saying he took care of all that missing the mark. Don't even worry about the missing of the mark. Worry about this other thing. So he was appointed to be this for you. Now the second word made, I love it, guys. I love it, I love it, I love it. It means to be assembled together. Like something was broken before, but now it needs to be put back together, made. Reassembled together. It also means to be finished, done, or married like a covenant. So he was appointed to be this thing, sin, the missing of the mark, all the stuff that you're trying to worry about. Don't even put on that man's breastplate of righteousness thing. He was appointed to take care of all that for you. But then he turned around and made you, but it's a different made, not appointed you. He reassembled you to finished product. You ever bought anything from IKEA? That sucks too. Because it comes with a lot of screws. It ain't assembled. It's in 50 billion pieces. And then you always end up with extra stuff. And you're like, it was extra, honey. And then it falls apart in 2 weeks. And you're like, oh, that's where those screws went right there. Or it's plastic and you break it, right? You can't break God's righteousness because he did it. He made you. He appointed Christ for the sin, and then he made you. He assembled you and finished you in this thing called righteousness. This thing that you put on, and it protects your spirit, and it sets on this belt of truth. He made you this way. If you're made some way, can you change that? Not in today's standards. Can you? No. You make something a GMC truck. You may could change it to a Chevy if you put enough different parts on it, but it ain't going to be a Ford or a Maserati or whatever other fancy cars there are. It's made something. It is complete and finished. It comes off the assembly line. Who wants to get their car in a million pieces and say, put it together, have fun at work tomorrow? Except for Dustin. He buys them that way. If y'all don't know, Dustin, for all the years I've known him, has only ever bought a car that will run right. All right, so made, assembled, finished. And then here's the one, righteousness. We're going to get to that in a minute. And then I love this word, in. I-N. This is one of the biggest words in Scripture so far to me. I mean, it's kind of crazy. But here's what it says. So he was made, appointed to be this missing of the mark for you. He didn't know about missing the mark before, by the way. But he said, I'll take that missing of the mark. And he said, so you could be assembled together, finished, in this thing called righteousness, where we're about to define, in him, in Christ. This word in means relation of rest. Relation. It's a relationship. It is not a list of do's and don'ts. It is a relationship. It's a communication. It's a walk. It's something you're going to walk out every day, and you're going to stumble and sin. You're going to miss the mark a little bit. And he says, sorry, I got you. I already made you finished. We're still going to keep going. No problem. Okay. Y'all okay? I'm loving this. I just like all y'all staring at me when I, you know. Now let's dive into it. What is righteousness? It's the big question, right? This whole time you're like, this is great. Cool. Got it. But what does it mean? Here's what God's righteousness means. When you look up the word righteousness in Scripture, all those scriptures I just read you where it says righteousness, 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 that's God's righteousness. Righteousness, that's really hard to say. Here's what it means. It means to be justified. It means to be made acceptable. In right standing. That's what it means. So when you read the word righteousness, you need to think that I have been justified. I love my dad's definition of justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. That's what justified mean. That's redneck definition for you. He watched a little bit too much Blue Collar Comedy Tour when he came up with that one. But justified, just as if I'd never sinned. That's how he makes it. That's what righteousness is. It's like it never even happened. You've been justified. You've been made acceptable. You don't have to do anything. Matter of fact, there's nothing you can do. Even if you wanted to try to do it, that's man's righteousness, like we talked about earlier, the filthy rags part. Even if you wanted to try, it wouldn't be good enough. So just get the relationship. That's what this is trying to show us. That's why it protects the heart, the spirit, because that's the part that communicates this. Protect that with the right standing. What is right standing? It means I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm in the place I should be. Gary Allen had a great song. Yeah, that's right where I need to be. Y'all know that song? Listen to country music, people. It's a great song. It was before country became rap and country and then crap. So, good country music. Take that home. So, what? It's the place that I need to be. I just need to stay here. That's righteousness. That's God's version of it. It's not this list of things. You can't achieve it. It's a place in which you stand. It's a state of being. Just like missing the mark in sin is this state of being, God's righteousness is the opposite state of being. It's where you need to be. It's that finished, complete place that says, I'm right here in relationship. This is where I need to be. Now, I'm going to read you off a couple scriptures real quick. These are the ones where I'm going to start firing them off at you. And the first one is Ephesians 4:23, and it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In verse 24, it says, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. He's created. He's made it that way. The word created means to make habitable. What is he made habitable? You, the position, the state that you're supposed to be in. Now, again, I'll refer you to the last session of Acts of Worship. We called it Eden. It was on Easter Sunday. You can go all into this original state of being that we were meant to be in. It was a direct relationship with God where we could walk and talk with him directly. And that's what he's trying to do. That's what all this armor is for, is to put us back there. Stop worrying about the rest. Stop worrying about that and just get over here where God wants you to be. Now, let's keep going. Romans 5:19. You don't know why I'm giving you all this? Because I'm about to say something that y'all may not like. So, Romans 5:19 says, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Y'all see, every time you see the word righteous that's applied to you, it says made or created. It is not something you achieve. You couldn't achieve it even if you wanted to. Even if you said, I'm going to become a monk, I'm going to go up in the mountains, and all I'm going to do is hum and think about God constantly, you still couldn't achieve God's righteousness, the finished product, the state that he wants you to be in. You couldn't do it even if you wanted to, because you were created and made that way. That was the way you were intended to be, and when we put on this thing and we protect that spirit, we start to have this communication, this relationship with God. Now, I want to point out something. The one man's disobedience, this is referring to Adam. Again, I refer back to the Acts of Worship session, Eden. It's the last one that we did, and we talked about that in detail. It says, by his, many were made sinners, or many started missing the mark because of that. But just like that, by one person's obedience, which is the man Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who said, you know what, I don't want it, but I'll go do it. Because I'll take that sin, that missing the mark, and I'll exchange it and give you something better. On the other side. That's what he says right here. So, is everybody getting that righteousness is a position? It's a state of being that you're in. It's not a behavior. It's not a thing you do. It's not something that you're going to go out of here tomorrow and say, oh, I was just unrighteous or any of that. If you're still not convinced, I can fire off several of them. And by the way, there's not different levels of righteousness. It's not like, oh, well, you know, when Jared's up here, he talks on the platform. You know, that dude is righteous, you know, like Nemo style, like righteous. No. So like, I am not Nemo fans. Yeah. Right. It's not. I wish I could speak whale. It's not. It's a state of being, guys. It's not an action. There's not levels. I'm not more righteous than you, than Jade, than anybody. You go find, y'all, on Netflix, they had that Ted Bundy thing. Y'all are aware, Ted Bundy would be no more righteous than you. Just think about that for a minute. There is a difference, and I'm going to show you that in a minute. 1 Timothy 1:9 says, the law was made not for the righteous, not for the people in right standing. The law, what is the law? It's all these lists of do's and don'ts and stuff. The law was made not for the righteous. It was made for the what? This word, sinner. Oh, sin. We don't talk about that in church no more, you know. We got to be easy breezy, you know, cover girl. No. I don't know how all these commercials pop in my head, guys. Like, I swear, I'm like a walking billboard ad. We should start posting that and making money on YouTube for that. But sin, it wasn't made for the righteous, the people who are in the right standing in relationship. The law, all these things were to help the sinner, the people missing the mark, to show them where the mark is. Imagine it's pitch black dark. I give you a bow and arrow, and there's people around. I say, now hit the target. Not a good idea. The law was to shed light, to show, look, these things, just start to look at God and watch how the light shines. That's one of my favorite things to think about, is put the spotlight on God and all the rest just fades away. The brightest thing, your eye goes to the brightest thing. If we were to turn off all the lights and I turn on one little bitty candle, do you know the human eye can see a candle from like, I think it's up, if it was pitch black dark, like in the middle of the desert, it's like 2 or 3 miles away, your human eye could still see that little bitty candlelight. It doesn't, if you just put the light on him, all this other stuff, the crap of life, it just starts to fade away. And you're like, oh yeah, cool, cool. And you may be stumbling like this as you're trying to walk towards God, but it's cool because you know what? I got my breastplate on. I got my breastplate. I got my breastplate. No, no one watches Jimmy Fallon. Okay. So Titus 3:5, it says this, not by works of righteousness, but by mercy, his mercy only. It's not works of right things. This word righteousness is a different word that we won't get to go into. Well, I'm going to say it in just a minute. But it's not by the works. It's not by those things. It's by the state of being when I start to put myself in this relationship and say, God, show me my favorite verse. Second favorite. It's tied with my other favorite. So I have two favorite verses. That's legal. You can do it. So it's John 3:30. If you know it, say it with me. He must increase and I must decrease. That if I just keep my eyes focused on more of him, all of a sudden I don't have to worry about these works and things because I start to do the things that God wanted me to do. Just like I am a husband, when I got married, I did sign a contract. I'm finding out there's a lot of fine print in there that I did not read, but there wasn't this like checklist of things that said, okay, I'm married now, I guess I can't do this and now I can't do that. If you look at your marriage that way, you may need to reevaluate. I look and say, I love her and I want to be with her. I just want to go where she wants to go, so I'm not going to do these things. I don't want to go and do this because I want to go over there. I want to be with her. Think about that with God. That's what he's saying. Just want to be with me and watch how this other stuff is. It's not even a problem. Now these two scriptures, Mark 2:17 and Matthew 9:13 both talk about this, and this is Jesus talking. It's in red letters, okay? And if you have a red letter edition, it's in red letters. I mean, Jesus said it, okay? And this is what he says. He says, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came for the sinner. I didn't come for the people who've already got a relationship with me. I didn't come to call on them. I came for the people missing the mark. The people who are sitting out there floundering around in life saying, oh, I'm so sure, so I don't know what I do. My bills are 3 days behind. I woke up 5 minutes late, which makes the kid 10 minutes late to school. And now all of a sudden they're going to get a tardy and this and that, blah, blah, blah. And you all of a sudden go down this path. And I don't know what I'm going to do because my car's broke. Except for if you're Dustin, you enjoy that. And then you're going around here. That's who Jesus came for, to say, let me show you. We talked about this last week. The way, the truth. The life. Let me show you the kingdom. The kingdom, the word kingdom means the way God does things. Again, I refer back to other sessions for that. He said he didn't come to call. I love this word call. It means invited. I didn't come to invite the people that are already in right standing. I came to invite the sinner. All of us that think, for instance, church, this is not a museum for the perfect. It's a hospital for the broken, because that's what Jesus did. Matter of fact, if you look at what they call Jesus, they're like, he was a drunk, a wine bibber. That's like a fancy term for it. He's like, he's always out there with all these other people. He's never in church. Why? Because he's like, you guys got it, or you think you got it together. I'm going to go to these people that are floundering around, flip-flopping around like a fish out of water, and I'm going to invite them into the way I do things. That's what he came to do and say. Okay, I'm getting excited, guys. I don't think I talked any slower, by the way. So for all of you Bible scholars out there, there's one scripture that everyone likes to pull up a lot of times about this righteousness thing. Because it sounds like I'm giving you a license to say, go do whatever the heck you want in life, and you're good. But you can. Paul said it best. He says, all things are permissible, meaning you can do anything you want, but they're not expedient. For instance, can you go stick your finger in that light socket? Sure you can. Is it smart? No, it's not. Can you get on the driveway? Can you get in the car, go get on the highway, and say, you know what, in England they drive on the other side of the road? Sure you can. It is not expedient. So you can do whatever you want. But see, that's the thing. We want to get this rule and regulation, so just show me so I can just make it to heaven. And God says, you're missing the whole thing. I just want to get to know you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to be able to walk and talk with you. You know, it'd be kind of like saying, hey, honey, Taryn, we're married, but there's this deadline thing. I just want to get to that point, the death part. And in the process, we got to have 2 kids. We got to have a house. And what kind of relationship? Like, imagine that's how and that's what we do to God. We say, hey, God, just show me what to do. Just so I make it there, big man upstairs, it's got me, you know, peace, bro. And then keep going with life, and he's saying, you're missing it. I just want to get to know you. I just want a relationship with you. Because when you start to do that, he starts to shift and change you. It's amazing. God's bigger than it. Okay, but here's what I was going to say. This one scripture everybody likes to pull out, and they pull it out of context. I'm going to show you something. It's Romans 3:10. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Wait. We just heard we were made and created. I just read you tons of scriptures. This is contradictory. The Bible is false. God is not true. Unless we understand this word righteousness is a completely different word. This word righteousness is where we get the word, I think, like to be pious, right? I'm not even going to try to pronounce this word for you because it's not in the language I know, but it's a derivative of that word pious. It means someone who thinks that they are righteous or better than they are, that they put themselves in a position to say, oh, I got this. That's what that word, there is none righteous. There is none in that form of righteousness. No, not one. There's not a single person that can achieve it in that manner. The second you do, you've put on man's breastplate. I forgot the word for a second there. But we got to come over here and put on God's. I was going to say bulletproof vest. That works too. So, the last thing I want to do real quick is jump back to Ephesians 6. We're going to start at verse 14, just this little part here. Because I did all that to help you define righteousness. Because when we talk about putting on the breastplate of righteousness, we jump down this whole rabbit trail, Alice in Wonderland down the rabbit hole. That's not what God wanted to do for us. It was not his intent of relationship. So when it says put it on, I love this word on. These simple two-letter words, it's like the Bible is written for Red Oak. On, you know what it means? It means to sink into. To sink into. I love that, sink into. I think of this, I got a theater room. Bad English. I have a theater room. It's up in my upstairs, it's like nestled in the kind of the kids' playroom. But there's no windows. And it's got this nice leather couch in there that my grandmother donated to the Thompson household. And it sets up there and it's got some cool little automatic recliners. It goes, and we fight over this one chair. My kids, they don't know whose authority I have. Now, this is my spot, Dad. And it's this corner because it's just perfect viewing of the screen. And when that room is nice and cold, we get these blankets and we all kind of sink into that couch. Who has a spot like that in your house? Some of you read books. I like movies. But you sink into it. So think about that when it says to put on the righteousness. Sink into it. Just dive into it. Sink into it. Why does it rest on the belt of truth? Sink into the truth that that's what God wants for you. Quit worrying about it because you're going to get an unrest. And that's the battle. Most of you are fighting against yourself. You're like playing thumb wars against yourself. It doesn't work. Sink into it. Put on. Sink into this breastplate. Cover your spirit in righteousness, this state of being. So that's why I said the word stand so many times. Because you know what the word stand means, if you remember? It means to be placed in, to be put. Where? In righteousness. This whole time that it's been saying, stand, stand. That's the hardest part to stand in is righteousness, because the only thing that can take you out of that righteousness is you. The only thing that removes you from this position is when you say, it's works of worth. So let me take off this one. I'll leave it here. And I'll go over here and try to do it my way. I did it my way. It doesn't work. Sink into it. Stand, therefore, with the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. This is the path that God lays for us. Now, there's several other scriptures that I won't really go to, but it's in 1 Peter. It talks about suffer the righteousness. And the word suffer means to experience it. We look at suffer and we think, oh, it's bad. No, it means to experience the righteousness, this place that we stand, experience it. And it says, then you'll be happy. It says that. Do I need to read it for you? I know, I won't read it for you. Just trust me. You go read it yourself. It says, suffer the righteousness, experience God's righteousness, this place of being, this relationship with God, and it will make you happy. It will make you exuberant. That's what it says. But you got to experience it. And the whole time we're over here putting on our own. Because there is this one interesting thing that we do is it gets very, very difficult when we're standing in this because we get so worried about the things we do. See, relationships take time. And in a world that is spinning out of control faster and faster and faster, it becomes more difficult to develop true, meaningful relationships with a physical person, much less than a spiritual God who you don't get to see and touch. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes energy to start developing that relationship. But the second you do, man, because he's always got his hand out. He's always got it there. He's always saying, just a little bit, just a little bit, and then watch it take off. Experience it. The last thing I'll say to you as we get ready to wrap up this morning is Matthew 6:33. This is where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom, the way God does things. Seek that first. Seek the way God does things and his righteousness, his state of being, his relationship. Seek that first. And it says, all of these things will be added. We've talked about that a lot. A lot of us, we want to seek the things physically, maybe, sure. But sometimes we're trying to seek peace and rest, and we're trying to seek that in life, right? Sometimes we think maybe if we make more money, sometimes we think if we can just get the kids off to school and summer's over, we'll have peace and rest, right? We go through these things that this is peace and rest, and we're searching and trying all the time, and God's saying, just seek my relationship and let me work those things out. Things are not just the physical things. They're all the other things in life. Because remember, it guards your spirit. We battle not against flesh and blood. That's what it said earlier, right? We're battling against these things in the spirit. We're battling against your mind. We're going to get on that about the helmet of salvation later. That is the battle of rest. And he says, put this belt of truth on. Reproduce truth. And put this breastplate of righteousness, the state of being that I need you in. And let's have a relationship.